This is a message that was recorded at Word of Life, a London City church in Lewisham, London. May God bless you as you listen.
We've been looking at the topic materialism, okay, for the last few weeks, apart from last Wednesday when we did not meet. And we started off, and I'm just going to do a quick recap. We started off with what is materialism. We looked at what that meant. And then we looked at the origin of materialism. We went back to the book of Genesis, and we looked at where it all started from. We also went on to look at how materialism works or operates in our lives as individuals. Okay, we looked at that. And 2 weeks ago, I was saying that, saying to us, I was giving some ways that materialism manifests itself through the lives of, through our lives as individuals. Okay, and I said that materialism draws us away from God. It causes us to get our priorities wrong. I said that materialism can cause a person to spend inadequate time with their family. It can draw them away from brethren, from, fellow believers. It can cause them to stop or irregularly attend church services. It can affect their being in fellowship. I also said materialism sometimes means that as an individual, you don't have time for prayer or the reading and the studying of the Word of God. Materialism can cause someone to tell lies, to cheat, and to engage in fraudulent activities. It can cause someone to get involved in get-rich-quick ventures. It can also cause us to compromise and lower our previously held standards, and cause us to fall into a state of backslidingness. It can also cause us to lose the passion for the things of God, whereby we have been passionate about the things of God. We lose that passion. It also causes us, or can also cause us, to neglect our relationships. For example, marriage relationships, which can lead to the breakdown of these marriages. And the final one that I said 2 weeks ago was that it can actually cause a person to sell their soul just for mere material things or for wealth. And I've added two more, and I'm going to, give some scriptural references for this. Another thing that materialism can cause a person to do is to become unfruitful. And I want us, today we're going to be looking at scriptures, at what the Bible says, the answers that the Bible gives us for this whole area of materialism. But let's look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, first of all. Matthew 13, 22. And this is a familiar parable here. 13 verse 22. It says, now, this is the parable of the sower. Okay. Now, he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So materialism can cause the word of God to be so choked out of our lives that, the word of God loses its place in our lives. And as Christians, if the word of God is not having free reign in your life, then you become unfruitful. You become unfruitful in the eyes of God. Before God, you are not bearing any more fruit because, this whole spirit of materialism has come in and it has choked the word of God and caused you to become unfruitful. And the final one is that it can cause a person to end up in hell. And I know that is quite strong. Let's look at Proverbs 27:20. Proverbs 27:20. So we're looking at a worst case scenario here. Okay, Proverbs 27. 20. It says, hell and destruction are never full. That sounds scary. Hell and destruction. What it's saying is that there's plenty of space in hell, you know, just as there's plenty of space and God would rather us all get into heaven. But there's plenty of space in hell. And it's saying here, hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. So what happens is that because materialism causes a person never to be satisfied. And because you are never satisfied, then you are drawn into destructive habits, destructive ways of doing things. And that can lead for someone to end up in hell and for their life to be completely destroyed, for them to perish, you know, and actually miss out on heaven. So it's really, you know, it's not a light thing that we are talking about when we talk about materialism, okay? Amen. But today I want to look at Jesus' response to materialism. How many of us know that Jesus is our standard as Christians? Okay, is our standard, is our ultimate standard as Christians. And therefore, we need to look at his response or his take on every situation, every aspect of our lives. Okay, and I'm going to summarize Jesus' response to materialism. Okay, I'm just going to summarize it. And I'm going to start off with the first thing. The first thing is that Jesus exposes the deficiency of riches. Okay? He exposes the deficiency of riches. You see, many people think of the good life in terms of material prosperity. But Jesus taught that there is more to life than material possessions. This is when we look at the teachings of Jesus, when we look at the Gospels, clearly, explicitly, Jesus shows us that there is more to life than material possessions. Luke chapter 12 verse 15. Luke chapter 12 verse 15. And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. So what is Jesus saying to us there? He's saying, take heed, beware. Beware is admonishing us, is advising us, is counseling us here. He's saying, listen to me. Your life does not consist in the abundance of the things that you possess. Okay? What is he saying? Your life is not about what you possess. Your life is more than what you possess. What you possess is temporal. What you possess is only for a short time. What you possess is going to change hands and new things are going. So your life must not revolve around what you possess. Your life must not revolve around acquiring more, because these things are eventually going to fade away. Okay, as we all know. That's what he was saying in those scriptures. And let's now look at Luke chapter 12, and I'm going to read 16 to 21. That same Luke 12. Luke 12, 16 to 21. And we will see a story here. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 12, 16 to 21. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So we see here, you know, Jesus exposing that deficiency of riches. And he gave this clear example of this rich man. And look at how he described. He said, "Fool, fool, with all your riches, you're not very, very wise. Because if you're not wise, then you're a fool." You know. So his riches didn't bring him wisdom. Yeah. And that's what Jesus was saying. Jesus says, "This night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? Who will take them over?" You know, all these things that you're acquiring and acquiring and acquiring, and there's never, you know, a time where you say enough is enough. Whose are they going to be? Who's going to take them over? Is it the government? Is it people that never even knew you? Is it family that you were not maybe on even talking terms with? You know, who is going to take these things over? That's what he was saying there. Another thing that Jesus taught on this whole area of materialism, he taught on the insecurity of riches. Okay, I talked about the deficiency of riches initially, but now the insecurity of riches. Okay, riches are susceptible to corruption, and they are open to theft. And we see that in Matthew chapter 6. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. So Jesus was saying, you know, these things are not secure. Whereas we would like them to last forever, and we would want them to be secure and not to, fade away and not to be corrupted or not to be stolen, Jesus is saying, no, that's not the case. Okay. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 20. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Okay? So Jesus was showing us the insecurity that accompanies riches. He was saying they can easily be corrupted. And you know, that's why the things that we buy and the things that we acquire, we want them to last forever. We wish we could just buy them the once and that would be it. But unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. And you know, if anybody is into electrical goods, nowadays it's as if they build them to last 1 year and that's it. You know, sometimes some of them even less than 1 year. You know, it's like, okay, just, you know, pay the money now and we'll see you in a year's time, you know, when you come back to replace it, you know. And that's what Jesus was saying here. He said, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, you know. And it's not only in the third world that thieves break in and steal. They do break in the Western world, in Europe and in America and in all the, you know, industrialized, you know, countries of the world, you know. You know, if you can have, thieves actually having the audacity to break into banks. And, you know, I was just thinking about this robbery recently where they've caught the guys, but £32 million is still outstanding. They can't find £32 million. You know, they stole £53 million and £32 million is still, you know. So, and what does that show us? It's showing that there's no security. There is no security, you know. There is no security back in Nigeria where we come. You know, when people build houses, I'm telling you, they're like prison, you know, prison fortresses with all the, you know, the gadgets and the whatever proof and all sorts of things. And when thieves are going to break in, you know, when people come and visit such people, maybe the next day, and they said, "Where did they get it from?" And they will show you or tell you some place that you think, "Wow, with all that security, they still were able to get into this place." And that's what Jesus was saying here. So he's saying that we should not lay up our treasures on earth, And the reason why we shouldn't is because if we do, verse 21, it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So he has a reason for saying that. He's saying that because he's saying, it's not that I don't want you to have good things or the good things of life, but if that is where your concentration is that if that is where your focus is, if that is what your life is all about, then that's what you're going to be thinking about 24/7. You're not going to have any, your priorities are going to be misplaced. Your focus is not going to be on me. That's what he's saying there. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So where your treasure is, if your treasure is all your material things, that's where your heart is going to be. But if God is your treasure, if the kingdom of God is your treasure, if the things of God, then that's where your heart is going to be as well. And that's what he was saying there. Another thing that Jesus taught us in this whole area of materialism is Jesus taught on the danger of riches. The danger of riches. And when I read that, people are going to think, how can there be danger in riches? But you see, everything, you know, even good things can become bad things. Even that which is good, if it's not used for the purpose for which it's created and in the manner that it's supposed to be used, then it will become a negative thing. Okay? So, Jesus taught on the danger of riches. They can, and the reason why I taught on this is because they can dominate our affections. They can dominate our affections to the detriment of everything else. You know, and that was what I was saying when I read that list earlier. The things that they can do, the things that they, the way they can affect us as a person, they affect our relationships, they affect everything. You know, they affect our spiritual work. They affect our fellowship with, you know, fellow believers. They affect our commitment to God. The things that God wants us to focus on, you know, evangelism, you know, being a Christian who is reaching out. Those things become sidelined because, you know, this has dominated our affections. They can blind us to the true light. And the true light is the Lord Jesus Christ. And they can blind us. And it's so subtle. It will just blind. And yes, we are Christians. We're still Christians. We're still, you know, heaven bound, Holy Spirit filled, you know, sanctified, whatever. But we can still be blinded in this area. Let's look at Matthew 6:21-24. Matthew 6:21-24. It says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus is explicit here. Is direct, is to the point, if I can put it there. It's like clear cut. You don't need to, you know, go and check, you know, a Bible commentary or anything to understand here. It's clear cut. It's clear cut. It says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good. What it's saying is that if we are filled with covetousness, okay, and I'm going to put it this way, if we are filled with greed, if we are filled with, you know, the love of material things, you know, even though, yes, we are Christians, then if we're filled with those things, then really our light that is supposed to be a good thing becomes a bad thing because the light of God really is not, you know, operating in us the way that it should anymore in this particular area. And then it goes on to say in 24, it says, no one can serve two masters. You cannot. For either you will hate the one and love the other. You know, and I give you the evidence. When a person stops completely fellowshipping, when a person stops completely coming into the house of God because they're chasing money, you know, what they're saying is that, Lord, I hate you. They're not saying it with their words, but with their actions. They're saying, Lord, I've chosen who today I am going to serve. And I am serving mammon. That's what they're saying. I know that's hard, but that's what they're saying. They're saying, I have chosen, you know, who I am going to serve. And that's the direction. And you find out that with such a person, it starts subtly. And then maybe initially they were, you know, but eventually it just takes over their life. Because Jesus is so wiser than we are. He says you cannot serve the two. You have to choose one. So it means one has to go. One has to go. You know, you can't hold on to the two and expect that you'll be able to serve God and mammon together. Amen. So the danger of riches is that they can prevent us from being able to serve God, like I said. Thus, the message of Jesus is one of correcting our misconceptions. Okay, that's the message of Jesus in all the scriptures that I have read. He was correcting the misconceptions of the people of that time. And is still correcting our misconceptions about the whole area of materialism, you know, riches. He's correcting that. It's not that he's saying, I don't want you to have what you need and have enough and be, you know, that even extra to be a blessing. But he's saying, look here, this is the way this thing works, so be wise. That's what he's saying. His message was and still is. Jesus' message was and still is, material goods and riches do not make one happy. That was his message then, that is his message now. And I'm now going to quickly just go through a few scriptures. So what's the answer to this whole area of materialism? How do we deal with it? Okay, we've seen Jesus' response. We've seen his counsel. We've seen that he's shown us that there's a deficiency in riches. There's an insecurity that accompanies riches. There's the danger that riches can bring. Okay, how do we deal with it? Because it's something that we will, you know, hit at one stage in our lives. Remember when we first started this teaching, I said both rich and poor people can be materialistic. So it's not about whether you're rich or, you know, you can be poor and be very materialistic. And everything you are doing, you know, is really in that vein, okay? So it's not about, you know, your status now, but it's about how do you deal with it? How do you try and make sure this thing does not take over or come into our lives? Matthew 6, verse 25 to 34. Matthew chapter 6, 25 to 34, and I'm going to quickly read. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body that what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Okay, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You know, the long and short of this scripture is that God is saying to us, don't worry about those things, those material things, those things that you need. Don't worry about them. But the message is, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The antidote, the only way we can come against materialism, or one of the ways, one of the main ways we can come against materialism in our lives and to stop it from developing in our hearts, is to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. It never fails. is yet to fail and it will never fail. When a person truly seeks God's kingdom first and the righteousness of God, then materialism cannot have a hold over their lives. That stronghold of materialism can't take over their lives. Because you see, their focus is on the right thing. They're about seeking the kingdom. You see, because we've only got 24 hours, all of us. You see, when you're about seeking God's kingdom and His righteousness, you don't have too much time to be seeking after. That's just it. You don't, really. I would say to someone, I think, to my auntie, I don't know when I've been able to sit down and watch telly. I watch telly, but I don't have the time. I don't have the time because by the time I get home, it's okay, kitchen, sort out this, sort out that, you know. I don't have the time. So when all your time is taken up by seeking God's kingdom, seeking God Himself, seeking His righteousness, wanting to see His kingdom come wherever you are, then that is one answer to materialism. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 to 12. 1 Timothy 6, 6 to 12. That first one, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's the first thing to do. 1 Timothy 6, 6 to 12. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with this, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. How many of us know that the Bible is true? At this time, he was saying that as a result of this thing, he said, for which some have already strayed from the faith in their greediness, and they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Okay? But then let's go on. Verse 11. I want us to look at verse 11. It says, but you, remember I said all those things about being contented and all that. This is how we deal with it. Verse 11 says, but you, O man of God, you, O woman of God, you, O man of God, flee these things. Flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So he was saying, look here, be contented because you didn't bring anything into this world. You're not going to take anything out. And he was giving a caution. He said, in your desire to be rich, be very careful. Because through that, you can fall into a temptation and into a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction. That is, it destroys them. You know. And then he goes on to talk about the love of money and what that does. He says, but you, O man of God, flee those things. What is he saying? Avoid those things. Flee them. Run away. When he says flee, it means run from them. Run. 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 But then, I like what he says. He says, but then pursue. Flee that, but pursue righteousness. Pursue righteousness. Pursue gentleness. Pursue patience. Pursue godliness. Pursue. So what he's saying is that the antidote for that, you want to deal with materialism, this is the way you should go. This is what you should pursue. Okay, so he's saying that the message there is be content and instead pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Luke 12, 15. Luke 12, 15. Luke 12:15. It says, and he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Okay? Jesus was saying here, basically, be alert. Beware. Okay? Be alert. Beware. And do not allow the spirit of covetousness to enter and take over your life. These are the ways that we deal with it. Be alert. Be aware. So, because this thing is subtle. Proverbs 28 verse 16 talks about 16b, the second part of it. And the message in that, I'm not going to read it because of time, but you can read it yourself. Proverbs 28 verse 16b talks about prolonging your life if you are not materialistic. That's the main message. And we all want to live long, because there's still so many souls that God needs to use us to reach and to draw into the kingdom of God. So if we want to prolong our lives, then we need to draw away from materialism. And finally, Proverbs 30, verse 7 to 9. And that one I'm going to read, because this is about having balance in our lives. Balance in our lives. Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30. Verse 7 to 9. Okay. And I'm just going to say, you see here, let me read it first, actually, 7 to 9. Two things I request of you, deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and still and profane the name of my God. And that's why I said here, this is about having balance in our lives. And this is not saying that Christians cannot be rich. That's not what it's saying. That's not what it's saying. It's saying, don't give me that which will cause me to deny you, to be so full, yeah, so full that I become so distracted and so full of pride that I deny you. On the other hand, don't give me poverty as well, okay, that I be so poor and I steal and I profane the name of my God. So it's about getting that balance in our lives. Okay, this is how, and that balance is only as we draw close to God and we keep seeking Him, you know, that it can cause us to realize when we are going astray, and we are going, you know, we're going over that line, over the line.
If you have been blessed by this message, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.wordoflife-lcc.org. And remember, God loves you.